Hey, welcome back, friends. Glad to have you here again. This is Richard from Lost Arts Radio, and we're here with Dr. Gamer.
A little louder.
Sorry. I hope you can
hear me. That's perfect.
Is that better?
Way better.
Richard, Lost Arts Radio, here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins and Doug Diamond. And we have a lot to talk about in a short time. And one of the things that we'd like to do is to turn this into more of an involving discussion with you. So most people listen to this broadcast as a podcast after the fact, and a few listen live depending on when we come on. And so there are two ways to submit your involvement, your questions, your comments, anything you want to say to be part of the discussion. And Doug is going to let you know how to do that. So Doug, maybe you can explain how they can be part of the show.
Sure, yeah. Happy to. So there's a couple ways. The easiest way is to, if you're in the live stream as it's happening, as we are broadcasting right now, the easiest thing to do is just type it into chat. And you're probably watching on either DLive, Facebook, or Twitch. Most users seem to be in Twitch, so it's pretty obvious usually if you're in there, there's a chat option. So you just type your question into there, and then for DLive, it works very similarly, and for Facebook as well. So if you're on any of those three platforms, you just type your question into chat, and I will then take the question and post it on the screen so that the doctors can see it and then address the question. So that's the number one easiest way to go. The next way is via email. So you can email info@lostartsradio.com, and I'll put it on the screen here. Email for questions and comments, info@lostartsradio.com. That's an option as well. And I will check the email during the broadcast here, and if something comes in, I can also take that email and put that on the screen for the doctors too. So that's the two ways to do it. You cannot call. There's no phone number to call, unfortunately, but there is email, and then there's the text chat if you're on Twitch or on DLive or on Facebook. So I hope that helps explain things a little.
Perfect.
So welcome, Gabriel. What are we going to talk about?
Oh, okay. So I'm very happy to be here, and I welcome Richard and Doug. And we're going to talk about what's on a lot of people's minds around the world, which is, are we going to blow up the world? Are we going to ruin civilization? What is going on? And so people are very concerned. We're really on the edge of a potential worldwide destruction. So that's what we're going to talk about. But before we do that, and this is actually an important aid to help us talk about all this, is the little dancing for spiritual joy, because you get a better perspective how to think about things. So we're going to dance for 3 minutes, and everybody's welcome to dance. Then we'll go from there. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Oh, good. Good warm up. So let's see Carly for a minute or two. I just focus on my eyes as we go into meditation. And now in a meditation. Hey, yo. Slowly come out of meditation. You know, the topic is a world crisis. And as I think about it, has the world not been in crisis? I was born in 1943, right in the middle of World War II. That was a crisis. For sure. And then we had the bomb. And then 1948, May 14th, it happens to be my birthday. May 14th, you know, Israel is the proclaimed the state, and it was like immediate war. One day without war. And then the Korean War. and then a constant Cold War, and the Vietnam War, and on and on and on. What's my point? My point is, what we're looking at now is not necessarily that abnormal. The human consciousness seems to thrive off the energy of war. I mean, I'm thinking 1942, okay, you're born in World War II. That's the way it is. And we haven't let up. So the current crisis we have Ukraine and Russia, we have Israel, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. It's already, it's just set to blossom into a world war. So the first thing I want to note is, what's new? I don't think there's anything really new here. We always seem to be on this brink. I think about 1963 with the Cuban Missile Crisis. And, you know, and then we're pushing to the borders of, you know, of Russia, or moving the border to Ukraine, having weapons, nuclear weapons. So humans keep doing this. So the real question is, how do we handle that? Well, there's two pieces. Part one is, how do we learn to act in a more mature way, okay, so that we don't get to this place? And that's a change in world consciousness. Now, I don't particularly, having worked with the UN for many years and led peace meditations there until they, 1998, they stopped letting us do peace meditations there, which was with the staff. The UN isn't exactly the ones where this is coming from. We really need to create a world consciousness that values life over political power. But there's more to it than that. It's a little bit of a mystery to me, to be honest. But people seem to crave disaster, crave brinkmanship. And it kind of makes people feel alive. You know, people don't necessarily like it at one level. On another level, the world seems to thrive on it. When are we, you know, World War I, World War II? I mean, it's just pretty constant. And, you know, a threat of nuclear war. So there's something humans get out of living on the brink. I'm not saying it's healthy. It's certainly not necessary. But there's other ways to be inspired and stimulated and turned on to life rather than creating a crisis, a continual crisis. So that's a way of beginning to think about it. Now, in the Middle East, this has been going on for 76 years. This is not a new event. Actually, that's not accurate. The current crisis has been going on 76 years. 1920s there were pogroms, 1930s there were pogroms, so it goes back way before 1948. Nothing new here. And you can make up other stories, and we're doing this for this reason, we're doing it for that reason, but it's a chronic crisis. And how does that change? And part of how it can change is when people start meditating and finding that place of peace and I want to say joy and excitement with it. So you don't need the excitement of war to kind of feel inspired. Because war kind of it defeats people energetically, not really in a healthy way, but it does feed people energetically. And people get into patriotism and nationalism and all these things, and it's like, wait, this is so external. Let's go internal and find the real source of sublime inspiration. So I'm going to just hold it there for a moment, kind of open up, see what Richard has to say, and if anybody has any questions. But you know, the real question is, how do we find it? I mean, the answer to me is what I call the six foundations and sevenfold peace. We eat a healthy diet so we become superconductors of the divine. Okay, you get really turned on in that way. You can feel the energy coming through. We do certain exercises to build the life force. We call it building the prana in yoga. Tai Chi, Chi Gong, you know, the Eightfold Yoga. Okay, that's another level. Service and charity is often very inspirational to people. Really good about helping each other. That's an easy one. The world needs lots of help. Okay? In good ways. And working with a group or a spiritual teacher to kind of give a higher vision. Okay? And meditation and prayer. You know, mantra repetition is really good. And then the awakening of the spiritual energies, also known as Ruach Kodesh and Kundalini, or the Tao. And then focusing on family life, the challenge of intimacy and relationship, working with the different cultures. The Native Americans say, Om Mataki Asa, to all my relations, you know, the rock people, the plant people, the swimming ones, the flying ones, and the walking ones who are verbal with education and memory. Okay? And relating to honoring all the cultures. That's another way of doing it. Relating to the living planet, called spiritual ecology, and focusing on God. So we have lots of ways to do this. We're not choosing to get turned on in those ways. And the question is, why not? Now I'll turn it over to Rich and see what he has to say.
You're talking about the general public waking up, Gabriel, and I think one of the things to realize, there was a general, famous general, I think his name was Smedley Butler, and he wrote...
Who?
Smedley Butler.
Oh, yes.
And he wrote a book about war being a racket, meaning a criminal business. And I think it's become very sophisticated. There's a group, you know...
Speak a little louder, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
There's a group, you know, from a spiritual perspective, people incarnate in this lifetime in this 3D environment for different reasons. And there's a number of them that come here because they're excited about power over other people. And they develop into a cartel that runs the wars. And the ones that you mentioned and the ones that came before are not originated by the general public for the most part. They come from a very small group that's in charge of these things. And for that not to happen, you have to have a public that doesn't fall for the psychological programming. You know, you were talking about war being exciting, and it's the dark side of nationalism, which is not inherently bad at all. Every country should be nationalistic in a good way. But the negative nationalism is a psychological program that people fall for because they forgot who they are. And this really comes down with all these programs and parts of good living that you mentioned and all the aspects of it. It's really simple. It's, are you connected to who you are or not? And if not, then that connection goes to the mind programs. And these are preyed on by the, set up by the psychological programmers. So it's a matter of waking up. And people are looking for ways to do it without that, like trying to find the right political system. Or there's a bunch of really well-intentioned people that think anarchy will solve everything. But without waking up, it doesn't matter what system of government you have. It's going to have a lot of problems and the wars continue. So it all comes down to consciousness.
Right. And that's exactly what we're talking about. And how is it that we haven't gotten it in these thousands of years, except a few ages of enlightenment? Okay. We have the great Ashoka, the Buddhist king, who brought great peace to India and the whole area around there. And it's like he brought spiritual principles and somehow got the people to follow them. We also see around the time of King Solomon, not King David, there was also a kind of an age of enlightenment where the first temple was built. So we have particular times in history where people get it and then they lose it.
And the question is, why is it? Why is it partial and temporary?
Right. And so it seems, and I think the Buddhist government of King Ashoka had the idea of really bringing people into the idea of peace. And I think it lasted for 60 years or 70 years, where they could kind of idealize peace as a way of being on the planet. And getting inspired by their oneness.
Right. I think it's a religious thing.
You just have to feel the oneness. That's why I mentioned the Buddhist, because it's not focused on this view of God or that view of God, but it's the oneness.
Right. Go ahead. Well, I think it's important, too, that when the rulers that we have now try to push war and excitement about killing the bad guys, that people realize that these rulers, these people in positions of power, you know, we're sitting in two countries right now, the U.S. and Israel. We have leaders in both countries that are mentally ill. It's not that they're inherently different than we are. It's just that the mind program that they've fallen for is very sick. And we've had leaders of those countries and others saying how important it is to have world war. And they really are pushing for it right now. They want many sparks could lead it off. NATO and Russia, Israel and Iran. They're really pushing for war with Iran right now. And that's completely insane. You know, we've had Lindsey Graham in the U.S. say that it's very important to have war with Iran, and it's some kind of national duty or something. And we've had Netanyahu give a speech to the U.N., or not to the UN, to Congress, saying that if there's anything that shows that Iran was involved in trying to kill Trump, that it's our duty to destroy the entire country and level it. And if we're not, we're gutless cowards. These are mentally ill leaders, and they shouldn't be listened to with any other attitude than that. And if no one follows them, the world doesn't have to be destroyed.
Well, I don't think the world's going to destroy itself. I think we're leading to a certain brinkmanship. I think prophecy is not one of we're destroying the world. We're making life really difficult. But I don't think we're going to do that. I think we're on the verge of moving into the 1,000 years of peace. The Essene prophecy is in 2025 in the spring, what we call the first day of Pesach, we'll begin a 50-year cycle of entering the 1,000 years of peace. So I think there's a certain optimism here too. So I'm not actually concerned about us doing, you know, destroying the world at this point. The question is, that's fine for me not to be concerned, but how do we bring people away from that kind of thinking? And I think it does involve the common person too. It's not just the leaders.
Right.
Leaders are elected by the people. Now, we can say, and it is being said, that the people, the citizens of Iran are not so pro-war. Okay?
Citizens of what? I didn't hear that.
Iran.
Now, the ones that I know are great people.
Right. So, you know, it's not... It is more with the leadership, whatever their egoic needs are, and you know, it's power, and it's, they get turned on by it. I call it kind of more psychopathological in that way. But it's our responsibility to turn that around. As the people, we need to, and we are, trying to take charge to move away from that kind of thinking, you know, all over the world. Remember, this isn't just, I mean, we don't have to go too far to look at other places in the Middle East where 600,000 people have now died, you know, and you know, in the current war, or in Syria, it just, when it's in Israel, they blow it up, the numbers. But we're really looking at horrendous amount of people dying in Syria. I can't think of the other one, will come to me in a second. North and south. But there's over 600,000 people who killed in the kind of struggle between North and South. What is the name of it? Starts with an S. But, so, it's going on all over the place, is what I'm trying to say. And we're just drawing attention to particular areas because of the way the world kind of focuses on it. But it's worldwide. I think there, at one point, I think I mentioned over 110 different conflicts going on, you know, where people are killing each other in mass amounts. You know what I'm saying? As we speak. So it's not just one or two locations. So those are what's being highlighted. So I see it as a world issue, rather than a few local issues, if that makes sense. You know, are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
The general public does not have to go along with it. And one important part of that general public is the people who are working within the system. They're not running it, but that's their job. And there are things they can do from those positions that make a big difference.
Yeah. So, anyway, my point is that it's a worldwide issue. It's not just Israel and the Middle East, or it's not just Ukraine. It's really worldwide. I think that's the point I'm kind of getting at. And we have to kind of take that worldwide approach. It's somehow to shift the overall consciousness of the planet.
Right. I think it's also relevant to mention that the existence of governments is not a bad thing. You know, we're not in a perfect consciousness environment where you can have just no rulers at all. But I think they're supposed to be representatives and work for the benefit of the population. And that was the idea in places like the U.S. We have really frustrated comments from anarchists saying that any kind of laws are bad and that nobody has the right to rule over others. And that's true ultimately. But if you just go to anarchy, you have rule by criminal gangs, and it's not a step forward.
So there needs to be some order. I mean, throughout history, there's always a need to have some level of order. The idea from a libertarian point of view is how do you minimize the rules, maximize the personal freedom. That depends on, as I think people who wrote the Declaration of Independence, is, you know, we have a good system, but it requires healthy citizens.
That's right. We're proving that in America right now. There's lots of people that say in America, it's wonderful that we have a constitutional republic, not a democracy. And they're saying that's because in a democracy, 51% of the people can vote to do anything they want to the minority. But the problem is, even with a constitutional republic, if the people are unconscious, it degenerates into crime.
Right.
It comes from whatever the consciousness is.
It's a joke. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner.
Yeah, and even if you get out 100% of the vote for the sheep, you still don't get very far.
Right. Versus republic. So that's kind of what we're facing. The question is, how then, we brought the problem, how do we turn it around? And as I've looked at things, I began to see that the way it can be turned around is creating a worldwide thought form for peace that begins to bring people into that consciousness. Can it be done? We know it can be done. There's over 300 studies since 1973 that shows when people meditate together for world peace, the amount of crime, murders, you know, thefts, all that kind of thing, decreases. In Rhode Island, they did the experiment with bringing meditators in, and the crime rate dropped 43% in 3 months. They thought, well, that's a fluke. So they did it again the next summer, and the crime rate dropped 49%. We just cut crime, violent crime rate, down by close to 50%. That's pretty impressive. So you can go from, in a particular area, there's a frequency that you create that affects people. Now, if enough people do it around the world, then the whole world can begin to shift its consciousness. And that is the only way that I'm aware, and that experiment, as I say, been repeated over 300 times, that we can shift the consciousness, which is to meditate and pray on the oneness, meditate and pray for peace, and create a thought form for peace that resonates around the world. So we this isn't an advertisement for Sunday nights here, where we have the World Peace Meditation, but that's the principle. And literally, worldpeacemeditation.net, literally when we get to 9,000 people meditating for peace on a regular basis, it will shift world consciousness towards peace. So we actually have a solution. But you got to have players. That's what we need. So to me, the push, from my perspective, is, okay, this is what we have to do. We got people have to start meditating for peace, hold the values of peace. Like King Ashoka in the Buddhist world, they held the values of peace. It works. We know it works. We've seen examples of it. So that's the good news. That's the good news, I think, for people to understand.
Yeah, I think it's easy for people to think that prayer and meditation don't do anything, and there's a whole dark side that believes the only thing that really is effective is brute force. But actually, what you're broadcasting from your emotional reality is much stronger. We're just not tuned into it.
Now, I see a note from Tanya Bauer. Is there a question connected to that? Doug, I can't tell. Or is it just a good blessing?
No, it's just a blessing, yeah. Just hello. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tanya, for your blessing. It's good. Okay. Very good. Okay, good. So, Richard, I kind of interrupted you because I saw that. So, finish what you're saying.
No, I was just backing up what you had stated about the reality and the effectiveness of meditation. And, you know, when we're so out of touch with it, it's easy to think that it doesn't do anything, that the only thing that's real is brute force and physical reality. But physical reality is not, you know, when you really get into the depth of understanding it, there's nothing solid about it. It's coming from finer levels. It's a projection of consciousness itself. And it, our senses are tuned to interpret it in the brain as solid so that we can interact with it in a certain way. But actually, even on the physics level, if you look at an atom, which is the basis of solid matter, it's almost 100% empty space. Everything is...
Oh, are you saying people are full of hot air?
I'm saying, well, in a way, but... Even the temperature is just a measurement of speed.
Yeah, I understand. I'm just playing with it a little bit.
No, I think it's good.
But it's true. The world is as we see it. The world is as we believe it to be. And when we start creating a world from our enlightened inner experience, then the world shifts.
Right. There are a number of understandings. One of the basic... healing arts in Hawaii, an old one, is Ho'oponopono, and it's based on the idea of complete personal responsibility, meaning that whatever you see on the outside is coming from the inside.
And we actually can do this. This is some really good news.
We're doing it now.
Beyond what we can do, we can do this. We can do this. We will do this.
You know, people have questions about what they call manifesting and how can you manifest what you want. And they think they have no idea how to do it. They don't realize that they're doing it now. It's just that they're manifesting what they don't necessarily think they want.
And as a collective, I understand that my, you know, personal manifestation, as a collective, it's even more powerful. You know, the Bible talks about 5 will chase away 10, and 10 will chase away, 100 will chase away 10,000. It's kind of exponential. And so we have the power. It's been established. It's all about taking the step in consciousness where we use our power to make a world of peace. And it's really in our hands. That's the beauty of this whole lesson here, is it's in our hands. We can do this. That's very exciting. And maybe I'll kind of conclude on my side of it is that I bless everyone that we really get we can do this. We are not helpless. We have the power to change the world back into a world of peace and joy and supporting all of creation, all of life on the planet. And I mean, the topsoil, I mean, the plants, I mean, the animals, and the humans. So may we be blessed that we put it into practice. And we think, as the Native Americans talk about it, Om Takyawasin, which is a very guiding principle. I'm a sun dancer and an eagle dancer. The very guiding principle of the Native American world that I'm part of. So it's so basic, but it's the answer. So I bless everybody that we can find that awareness of Om Takyawasin.
Right. Don't underestimate what you can do.
So let's end with that, and just end with that simple awareness. It's not complicated. And bring us into the world. So we all be blessed to do that. I thank Richard, I thank Doug, for our little team we have here to kind of bring this awareness to people.
I totally agree, Dr. Cousins, and thank you. It's the message behind all the others. Don't underestimate the power that's in your own hands. And we came here with the possibility of demonstrating in the 3D world what's the reality in the place that we came from. And it is possible here. And it's hard to remember in the middle of chaos. But the possibility is always there. And once the general people start to wake up, all of us, then we don't go along with any crazy stuff to spread destruction and wage war and things like that. It doesn't happen. So, and I would just remind people that the rulers are trying to bring all of this emotion that Gabriel talked about in the beginning to a head with a new pandemic. The bird flu stuff, it's complete nonsense. There may be a toxin that they release, but it's not the pandemic that they're talking about. They've never even proved the existence of the first virus or any others, and they're not anything that has to be tested with PCR is a fraud. So don't go along with it. And they're talking about putting people in jail who talk against the lockdowns and things like that. Just don't fall for it. Remember who we are. And that's really our, as Gabriel said, it's really simple. Our job is to reconnect with who we are. And once we do that, the rest follows. So I really appreciate the message that he's giving us today. Blessings to everybody. Remember the availability of all the programs he talked about at drcousins.com and treeoflife.mn.co, and what we're doing at planetaryhealingclub.com is also going on, and I'll start promoting that again once we see the conclusion of what is going to be happening with me in the next little while here. But for anybody that really wants to be in on it, planetaryhealingclub.com is still available. So you'd be welcome there if you want. But the main thing is, no matter how you decide to do it, get in touch with who you are, and you automatically won't fall for any of the mind programs that are part of the origin of the darkness right now. We don't need it. We've got an incredible opportunity here, starting right now. So anyway, I wish all of you a wonderful week. Hope everything goes great for you, and look forward to seeing you here again next time. And remember to participate if you have any comments or questions or anything you want to add info@lostartsradio.com is the email address, and we'll take a look at them when we meet here again next time. Take care.